Thanks for reminding us that regardless to what state you're in your life, all of us have something to be grateful about. And one of the things that we can be grateful about is that even in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your pain, we still serve a prayer answering God. And when you serve a prayer answering God, you know that in the end, everything is going to be all right. This month, our theme is Thanksgiving that moves. We are highlighting the fact that this is our season in which we ought to highlight our gratitude to God. We ought to do it every day throughout the year. But this is the month during the year where we just accentuate the fact that all of us ought to express gratitude to God, if for nothing else, for sending his son Jesus to live and die for the sins of this world. This is also our Veterans Weekend, where we also celebrate the service of men and women in our military, how they sacrifice so much so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we do in this country. And so to help us to celebrate our veterans and to celebrate Thanksgiving, we want to direct your attention to the Old Testament book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 10, and we're going to be reading verses 10 through 14. Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 through 14. Hear these words from the Word of God. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the applying of this his holy and most righteous word. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, if you will, we ask that you might let the very words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts to be acceptable in thy sight, for you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. Let all the people of the Lord say amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. I just want to revisit verses 12 and 13, which read, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me but I was detained there with the king of Persia. For a few moments today, we just want to hang these words on the hinges of your mind. Thank God for help with spiritual warfare. Thank God for help with spiritual warfare. Church, it's hard to imagine anything worse than war in this world. For in war, mothers are in mourning. In war, children are in tears. In war, people are in panic. In war, fathers are on the front line. In war, villages are devastated. In war, towns are torn apart. In war, cities are set on fire. In war, soldiers are stationed at alert on every corner. And in war, there's tension everywhere. I'm just trying to tell you that it's difficult to imagine anything worse than war in this world. But I did find one thing worse than being in a war, and that is being in a war and not knowing you're in it. For when you're in a war and you don't know it, you misread what's happening to you. When you're in a war and you don't know it, you're unprepared for what's coming at you. When you're in a war and you don't know it, you're in danger of being destroyed by something that's overwhelming you, church. It's a terrible thing to be in a war and not know it. And so I stopped by to tell somebody on this Veterans Day weekend that the wars overseas have not been the only wars going on. Because there's a war going on inside the confines of these United States. There's a war going on in the state of Maryland. There's a war going on in the county called Howard. There's a war going on in the city called Columbia. There's a war going on in your house. There's a war going on in my house. There's a war going on in God's house. And if the truth be told, there's a war going on inside your own body. Church, things are not just happening by coincidence. Things are not just happening by happenstance, but they're happening the way they're happening is because there's a war going on. And church, this war that's going on is a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war with physical manifestations. It's an invisible war with visible ramifications. It's a subtle war with certain consequences. And the sad part about it is that so many states, so many saints of God are in the war and don't even know it. And I know I'm right about it. I know I'm right about it because even the prophet Daniel was in a war and didn't even know it. See, Daniel got to a place where he prayed a prayer to our God, and he looked up to heaven after he prayed this prayer. And for several days after he prayed that prayer, it seemed like nothing was happening. And so after 1 week passed, nothing seemed to happen. After 2 weeks passed, after Daniel prayed this prayer, nothing seemed to happen. And during that time, he began to wonder, has God forgotten about me? During that time, Daniel began to ask himself, has God overlooked me? During that time, Daniel asked himself, is God ignoring me? During that time, Daniel asked himself, did God hear my prayer? He asked himself, have I done something to anger God? And I just wonder, is there anybody here who's ever been there like Daniel? Have you ever prayed a prayer and it seemed like nothing happened, and so you started examining yourself and wondering, where is God when you need him most? Well, church, I discovered that when he prayed, God immediately. And Daniel discovered that when he lifted up his prayer to God, when he prayed to God, God immediately received his request. And he immediately assigned an angel to take an answer. But it took the angel 3 weeks to get to Daniel, because the angel ran into spiritual warfare. And so let me tell you a few things. Let me tell you a few things that we ought to thank God for when we encounter spiritual warfare. And then I'll leave you alone. Here it is. First, church, when it comes to spiritual warfare, we ought to be thankful that God has sent help whether you see it or not. When it comes to spiritual warfare, we ought to be thankful that God has sent help whether you see it or not. Now Daniel has prayed a prayer. And usually when Daniel prayed a prayer, stuff started happening right away. Usually when Daniel prayed a prayer, a visible manifestation of God's answer to that prayer became apparent right away. It's like in chapter 9. You remember in chapter 9, Daniel prayed a prayer, and he prayed it in the morning. And by the time evening came, Gabriel was at his door. And so Daniel was used to praying and his answer coming right away. But here in chapter 10, when Daniel prayed in this chapter, after he prayed, nothing seemed to happen right away. And so Daniel, he began to say to himself, Daniel began to ask himself, what's taking God so long? See, church, Daniel didn't realize that God hears and responds to every prayer. God hears and responds to every prayer, because every prayer is received by God. And just because God doesn't give you the answer that you want him to give, and just because God doesn't respond when you want him to respond, and just because God doesn't move how you want him to move when you want him to move, doesn't mean that God doesn't hear every prayer. And so Daniel's prayer went up to the Lord. It went up to God. It went up to his father. And God dispatched an angel. And God, and Daniel, he didn't realize it. Daniel wasn't aware of it right away. But God had already sent help in response to his prayer. Which means, church, that when you pray, when you lift up your petitions to the Lord, when you bring your concerns to the Lord, delay doesn't always mean denial. When you pray, delay doesn't always mean denial. In other words, just because it takes God a long time to respond to your prayer doesn't mean that he said no to your prayer. Just because God doesn't answer today doesn't mean that God has said no. Just because it seems like it's taken God too long to respond to your prayer doesn't mean that he said no to what you want. Because sometimes, church, God's got to rearrange some stuff before he allows your yes to come forth. Because for many of us, if God responded yes too soon, we might destroy the yes and turn his yes into a no ourselves. And so sometimes God's got to do some stuff for us.
Sometimes God's got to do some things within us. Sometimes God's got to rearrange some stuff in our lives, because sometimes when we pray, God says yes, but not now. And so delay doesn't always mean denial. But church, here's the real shout. Because if you have prayed, God has already sent help to whatever, whether you see it or not. God has already sent help in your life, whether you see it or not. Would you shake your neighbor's hand real quick and tell your neighbor, you may not see it, but God has already sent you help to respond to your prayer. And I'm talking about a help to encourage you, help to inspire you, help to support you, help to defend you, help to be there with you, help to prop you up, help to stand you up, help to fill you up, help to raise you up. Is there anybody here who came to give God some praise? Because God has given you the help that you need to respond to your prayer. Somebody ought to give God some praise today, because we serve a God who can give you help to overcome whatever you need. God has already sent help, whether you see it or not. But here's the last point, church. When it comes to spiritual warfare, we ought to be thankful today. We ought to be thankful that victory is sure, whether it looks like it or not. When you're dealing with spiritual warfare, and when you lift up your prayers to the Lord, you ought to be thankful that victory is sure, whether it looks like it or not. See, church, you can't make it in this world. You can't make it in this world if you only have a look-like-it faith. You're not going to get very far in life if you only have a look-like-it faith. In other words, if the only thing that gets you excited, if the only thing that gets you moving, if the only thing that gets you going up is when things look like they're going all right, if things look like they're going your way, if things look like they're going positive in your life, you're going to remain a babe in Christ for a mighty long time. Because the only way you and I are going to make it in this world, the only way we're going to mature in our walk with God, the only way we're going to be the kind of children of God that God has destined and designed for us to be, as if we've got a faith that says, even if it doesn't look like it, we know that victory has been supplied. And so let me ask you a question, church. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a doesn't look like it situation? Have you ever been in a doesn't look like it situation? Have you ever been in a situation where it seemed like things didn't look like they were going your way? It didn't seem like things were going to work out. It didn't seem like things were going to be positive. It didn't seem like things were going to turn around. But God gave you the victory anyhow. Well, that's because somehow when it doesn't look good, somehow when it doesn't feel good, somehow when it doesn't look right, God will bring you out anyhow. I know I'm right about it. I know I'm right about it, because it didn't look good when Rosa Parks sat in the front of the bus. But thanks be to God, because she didn't get up and go to the back of the bus. Not only are we sitting in the bus, but many of us are driving the bus, or some of us are owning the bus, because God worked that thing out. It didn't look good. It didn't look good when Martin Luther King was assassinated and he was killed by that gunshot as he stood on that balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. But I declare right now that Dr. King may have been killed, but he hasn't been forgotten, because they got streets named after him. They got schools named after him. They got bridges named after him. They even got a holiday named after him. Because if you keep your hand in God's hand, victory is secure. It didn't look good when Moses got to the Red Sea with Pharaoh and his army behind him. He had the wilderness on both sides of him, and he had the waters in front of him. But God stepped in. And when God steps in, he'll work that thing out, because God created a Holy Ghost hallway so that God's people could walk through on dry land. Is there anybody here who came to give God some praise? Because even when it doesn't look good, God can give you the victory anyhow. It didn't look good when Judas turned Jesus in on that Holy Thursday. But thanks be to God, when they turned Jesus in, that things didn't turn out the way they seemed, because God turned that thing around, because God's got the power to do anything but fail. And so, church, as you go from day to day, every time you see Satan on your track, you've got to be able to look Satan in the face and sing your theme song to put the devil in his place. You've got to say, like the old folks used to say, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. And I'm not talking about next week. I'm not talking about next year. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about yesterday. But victory today, right now, is mine. Because God can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Won't it do it? Won't it do it? If you believe it, say yeah. If you know it, say yeah. If you're glad about it, then let's give God the glory, and let's give God the honor, and let's give God the praise, and say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because he can give you the victory anyhow. Let's stand, let's stand. Let's stand all over the church as we open the doors of the church, so that some man, some woman, some boy, some girl can get connected to a God who can give you the victory in your life, regardless to how things look and regardless to how things seem in your situation. If you're here, if you've never said yes to the Lord, if you've never been baptized, and if you've never claimed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, won't you take this opportunity to step out of your row, walk down the closest aisle, give God your heart, give one of our deacons your hand as we sing our invitational song for the day. If you're here, won't you come as we sing?
I just want to thank you, Lord.
Let's ring it out to the glory of God, if that's your testimony.
Thank you, Lord, say thank
you. Somebody's thinking about it. Don't just think about it. You have the opportunity to do something about it.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.